Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
Hey, from Los Angeles, Big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Radio Star Worldwide Network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And I've got help. My lovely co-host, don't talk so fast, Adrian Gruberg from the Caregiver Space. Hi, Adrian.
Hi.
And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian, as I said. We will be interviewing Raymond Levine, actually Love, well, I guess I pronounced that right, Raymond Levine, as opposed to Levine, discussing with why every caregiver needs long-term care insurance and how they can afford it. Now, don't let the word insurance turn you off. This guy is very knowledgeable about probably the only kind of insurance that a caregiver needs, and that's long-term care. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week, especially since we've gone video, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is the caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they're caring and they're selfless and they're sacrificial, and oh yeah, they have this bad habit of burning out because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And, you know, if you just listen to the airlines, they'll tell you in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. Because they know that if you don't do that, you're going to burn out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And you know what? That's a caregiver. So we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, I wish I can tell you something better, but the only way out of the grief process is to go through the grief process. Can't go around it, over it, under it. Got to go through it. Sorry. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Now, I want to take this time and thank my last week's guests, Kay Toole and Eric Wren, for their great interview they gave. And you can hear that interview and this interview and all my interviews on our website, caregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S, followed by caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I'm going to send you my first book absolutely free. What a deal. All right, enough of that. Raymond, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really appreciate it. Why don't you take a minute or two, just introduce yourself. Who is Raymond Levine?
I've been trying to ask that question for many, many decades. First of all, it's a pleasure to be on this program with Adrian and Dave. I'm live in Gig Harbor, Washington, so we have Adrian in New York. We have Dave in California and Raymond in Washington State. And where I specifically live is Gig Harbor, which is just west of Tacoma. And we're at the entrance of the Kitsap Peninsula, which is a wonderful, you know, indoor and outdoor recreation area. It's in the 40s, a little bit overcast. And what else would you like to know about me, Dave?
I think California's got you beat on temperature if this was a contest.
Of course. Of course. All right. Of course.
I think that's enough for now. Like I told you before, you know, insurance agents don't always have the best reputation because usually people have bad experiences with pushy salesmen. Nobody likes a pushy salesman, but you are not that guy, are you?
Sure.
What I bowed for him. I've been talking to him for a while. He is not the guy. But you want to say,
you know,
And let me throw this in, and then you can say what you you need to say, because we have to take turns. Otherwise, you know, it's like the presidential campaign. Nothing gets said because you can't hear anything over the other person. So let's talk about the conversation that family, you know, need to have with, you know, their loved ones, if they're a caregiver, and, you know, exit strategies, all that stuff. So go ahead and go in that direction.
What I do is try to build trust. And trust is not giving people facts. You know, 3 and 4 will need care. You know, your life will be miserable if, you know, you don't have long-term care. Long-term care or caregiving is something that most of us, I never went to school to learn about caregiving. Most people don't. It's just something that, you know, we learn how to do, or we figure out how to do, you know, when and if the time happens. But what I initially do is, you know, talking about caregiving is a conversation. And as we were talking about previously, you know, you plan in advance, because your family is also a business. You decide, you know, about money, you decide about love, you decide about what things you buy. And one of the things that is going to happen sooner or later is people are either going to die, or before they die, they're going to need some level of caregiving. And what I also suggest to people is, whether you're the caregiver or you're receiving caregiving, it's how you plan for it. It's what you know about it, or if you have a support system. But, you know, quite frankly, it's also about money. It's having, if you want to stay at home, how can you stay at home? What's your infrastructure? What family members or friends or social organizations, service organizations are there to help you? Or do you need to hire caregivers? And the world's changed, and it's going to keep evolving over time. It used to be that when we thought caregiving, we thought about assisted living or nursing home. And that frightened people. It scared people. And there are all kinds of stories about, you know, what happens when people are in assisted living or a nursing home. Now more people can stay at home for longer periods of time or forever, if they have the support system. And that's what I help people do, is to come to terms with, if you need it, how can you have that support system with money and people to help you to stay at home, or also infrastructure. And something that I do talk to people about is that technology has also made a difference with how long and where people can stay at home, because equipment that used to be only available in a nursing home is now more portable, more affordable, and also monitoring. The internet, broadband, you can monitor people, whether they have Alzheimer's or something else. You know, let's say you need to go to the store, and rather than saying, I have to have somebody there to watch George.
Watch her by your smartphone. While you're driving.
Yeah, you can watch them with a smartphone. You can have a monitoring device just like you have in your home. If somebody enters and doesn't knock on the door, if there hasn't been movement for a time, you'll get an application. So all these things that are available to help people to stay at home longer, and where those that are caregivers and those that are having caregiving, they feel comfortable. Why? Yeah. If any time that we're ill, we're afraid. And if you don't, you know, I was in the Army. I was in combat operations in Vietnam. And there is nobody, no soldier that's going to say they're not afraid. If, you know, we have bravado. But believe me, you're afraid. And when you're not well, go ahead.
By the way, those systems can be picked up at Home Depot for like 4-camera system on your smartphone, a couple $100, $250, something like that. And you were right in the beginning, you know, we can rely on either death or tax. Ben Franklin used to say there's only 2 certainties in life, taxes and death. And now we can add a third one. You're going to need care. You know, as I said in the beginning, there's 3 kinds of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who are going to be caregivers, and those who are going to need caregivers. So that's a pretty scary thing. And I think everyone... Adrian, do you know the statistics of how many caregivers don't have long-term care?
I do not.
But I bet
I know the majority of them.
Yeah, I mean, I do, so I'm the exception. I'm always the exception to the rule. Do you? Do you, Adrian?
No, I said I don't.
Hey, so there you go. So I bet you know the statistics, Raymond.
Yes, I do, and it's disturbing because it really is disturbing because those of us that are in our 60s, and there are more and more of us that are living in our 60s and generations back of us, that sooner or later they're going to need caregiving. But and unless we have a national plan, which is unlikely to happen, those that own long-term care plans, or as I said, I'd rather say extended care plans, is about 8 or 9%. So that means that you have 91-92% of the country or a population that don't have...
I'm going to be 63 in January. And probably the only reason I have one, or I would have fell in the same category as Adrian, of thinking, I'll do it one day. I was selling insurance about 12 years ago. And I worked for an agency, State Farm, and I have a very good friend who ran the agency. And he convinced me that I absolutely need, if I ever did anything the rest of my life, I need to do this. I was 49 years old. It's relatively cheap. For $110 a month, I got this great plan that will pay a nursing home $400 a day. Now, do the math. That's $12,000 a month. Now, most great nursing homes or assisted living centers are, range $3,000 to $3,500 a month. So I got, like, if I wanted to be on Malibu overlooking the ocean, I can be there. And it hasn't gone up in 12 years. And you said that's amazing. So maybe I got a good company. Maybe I got a good plan. I don't know. But even if it doubled, $220 a month, that's cheap protection, for. Mm-hmm. But you got to get it when you're younger. Right.
That's right.
And also your health matters, too, because if you have severe health issues, it's going to limit the number of plans that are available to you, or it may raise the premiums based on your health history. And that's, what's even more difficult having the conversation. It's not whether they need or want long-term care plans, is they'll argue with me about their health. And that, people like to feel that they're healthier than they are, or they get upset with the insurance company and say, what do you mean the insurance company doesn't want to underwrite me or offer me a plan? I'm healthy. I only have type 2 diabetes. I'm 72 pounds overweight. And my cardiologist says that, I'm going to have a stroke, any time.
Yeah. For years, I was proudly boasting to everybody who asked that I am on zero medication. I don't take, I have perfect cholesterol, blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't taking any pills. Well, that started to change, about 5 years ago. All of a sudden, my blood pressure is like borderline. Okay, I'll take this pill, And then I can't pee. Okay, I'm taking prostate pills, And then, my arthritis is kicking. Okay, I'll got to take this anti-inflammatory thing prescription. Next thing you know, I'm on medication, and I don't remember. It's like the fiddler on the roof, I don't remember getting older. When did they, It's like, So what is the minimum age that you think someone should actually buy a plan? I mean, you don't recommend it if they're in their 20s or their 30s, or do you?
With regret, you can't own a plan if you're under 40. It's only and this is only recently. It used to be when we first bought ours 10 years ago, you had to be a minimum of 18. Now with the minimum in most plans is 40. There are some, if you're in the work side, maybe you might be able to get it. But it's changed now to 40. Would you like to know why? Or
yes, I don't want to get into like it. Adrian, would you like to know why?
I want to know what the premiums were for 18-year-olds.
$20, $25, $30
like,
a month.
Like life insurance.
Yeah, yeah, and then if you had cost of living, in 40, 50, 60 years, you had a great plan, but the reason is risk. Is that the carriers did not want to have people that were on that would be own plans for 50, 60 years, because they were worried about, you know, they were just worried about having people on insured for that long before they needed care. So they changed it to where the minimum is 40. Go ahead.
Why would they be worried? I would think they would be happy to take the money for whatever number of years until an 18-year-old needed care.
You would think so. I think it's also that there weren't that many people that. Of course, the other thing is just like when I was in the life insurance business, where you know you'd buy children's life insurance, where you know it would have been good if parents had said, "Look, you know it's inexpensive." The parents bought long-term care plans for their children and either subsidized it for a period of years till they were able to do it. But I just don't think that there was enough business. But I also think it just had to do with they didn't want all these people on the plan. Owning plans where they would have that, you know, that much business on the books. There was risk of all these people needing it at some period of time. So that's what I think. Why they change it to the minimum of 40.
I think the really important question that caregivers need to ask themselves, because you're already there. I mean, if anybody should know the risk of needing long-term care, the person you're caring for now probably doesn't have it, and just think of how much easier your life would be if they did. Money would probably not be an issue, you know, facilities, good facilities, because 9 out of 10 of them, you know, I wouldn't put my cat in, but a really good facility is a really good thing, you know, and some people make promises. I'll never put you in a nursing home because they made them promise that, but you know what? There are nice nursing homes, but they're few and far between. My mother was in a very, very nice one, and you know, that was the best place for her. So it's better to make a promise like I will give you the best care possible. So how do you communicate to these people who should know better that think about who would care for you, the caregiver, if something happened to you? Because we all know that, you know, caregivers don't grow on trees, especially good ones. And think about how you were indoctrinated. Maybe you have 8 brothers and sisters, and you're the only one who stepped up to the bat because all the rest of them, oh, you know, I'm too far away. I work, you know, I don't have the temperament, you know, right, Adrian?
Well, I mean, I was very fortunate with my mother and father. They had long-term care policies, but my father was a broker.
That probably made you consider doing it more than if they didn't. I don't know.
I wanted it. My mother knew she was going to need care if she survived my father. My father just was being prudent. But when I saw my mother was in Florida, I was a long distance caregiver with daily responsibilities, but long distance nevertheless. And she was privileged to have a policy where she could stay in her home and have somebody care for her there. And that was what she wanted. And she was very demanding, and it all worked out. So I wanted one, my husband said no. And
what was his reasons?
Why should he pay for it now? We would pay for it out of pocket when the time came. Well, I had seen some of my parents' friends in Florida literally going through their savings because they had to pay for their own care. They weren't covered. Steve didn't care. But when he passed and I was alone, it was like, well, I can't count on my niece or nephew to take care of me, nor would I want to. And my brother might not be around, and I can't count on him. I don't want to have to worry anybody about it.
Yeah.
This is my responsibility to take care of myself. And if I need it, I'll have it. You know, if I never need it, it's not as though it was a waste of money because it gives me peace of mind.
So interesting, Adrian, that you're the person we're talking to, the type
exactly.
of person who and you were fortunate enough to have your parents have long-term care. You think
yes.
that would increase the odds that I'm getting this because I don't want this to happen to me. And it's not that your husband couldn't afford it because, you know, you guys were doing well. Mm-hmm. So there's strange reasons, isn't there, Raymond, why someone won't do it? And it isn't usually money. It isn't necessarily money.
Well, there are reasons for it. Some of it is denial. Some of it is, you know, coming to terms with, you know, your health and your mortality. But the way I approach it is, you know, for women, you know, of course, I have had women that have been more resistant to owning or thinking about long-term care than the men. But usually it's, you know, the women will be more interested about long-term care, because why are women more interested in knowing about long-term care? Because they're caregivers, you know, taking care of us guys. Or, sure. Of course, the world has changed. It might be now your partner. In fact, that's what I ask people. I don't say, you know, how is your husband? I start with, you know, your partner, because you need in this century. Exactly. You don't know. You just don't know. So I want to be. I don't want to put an idea into somebody until they say, oh yes, I have, you know, my husband, or, you know, but I do have a number of, you know, gay clients. And, but the point is, it's the women that are usually the caregivers. And it's usually, I have a hypothesis that I think it's going to change, where it's usually that the men die before the women.
Absolutely. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
But I think I have a forecast. I think that's going to change, because, you know, women have all the pressures and all the harassment as us guys. I'm thinking that maybe the women, you know, they're women that are more obese. They're women that have diabetes. They're women that have heart conditions. So that's my hypothesis. It's not a fact. It's just my hypothesis. But what I say to, you know, if men are resistant, and some of them are, as I said, you know, I ask them, do you love your family? You know, how would your family be affected if you need care? Because what I say to them, it's not your life that's over. It's how it affects your family. And if you don't care about your family, you don't care about your kids, you don't care about your money, you don't care about, you know, your commitments now or in the future, then there's no point in having the conversation. You've already told me how you feel, which you've also, you know, told me how you feel about your family. But if you care about your family, then let's have the conversation. Maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't, but let's have the conversation about what your options are about your cash flow. You know, if I can just offer a thought as I'm thinking about it, is that
do me a favor, hold that thought, because we need to take a break.
Sure.
Don't go away and don't forget it. And we'll be right back. But, Ed, I wanted to ask you, do you have long-term care insurance?
Actually, I do. I am set
up. And how
old
are you?
I will be 44 next month, and I actually purchased it when I was 37.
What a smart guy you are. I thought they don't sell it under 40, Raymond. They made an exception for
It was actually it was through my wife's job through American Airlines, so they offered it if you were 37 or older. And we took advantage of it. So, yeah, I've been paying, I think it's like $92 a month or something like that.
Okay. Ed's our engineer at Radio Star. He makes all this magic happen. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Got to pay the bills here.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process.
With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Raymond Levine and Adrian Gruberg, my co-host. I'm Dave Nassani, and Ed is our engineer. Ed, I forgot to ask you, how much are you paying for that policy?
It's about $87 a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, it's through a huge company.
Are these premiums expected to go up? I mean, they told me that they will never raise my rates individually, but as a group they may. But in 12 years they haven't. What's the story on that?
Well, this has been an issue for the last 6 years that on regular long-term care plans, the Mutual of Omaha's, the John Hancock's, the MetLife's, the Prudential's, most of the carriers have raised their premiums on their regular as a group, not individually, but as a group. Good point. As a group. And the reason, there are three reasons why it happened. One was because underwriting was not as stringent years ago as it is now. So there are people that have stayed, you know, have either gone on long-term care plans or benefits, and they've used it longer than expected. The second reason was they expected, just like in life insurance, that there would be a percentage of people that would cancel the plans after some period of time. They didn't. Why? Because they saw the value of it. It's like, you know, if you buy Apple stock, or you buy Microsoft, you buy Google, they saw the rise in value, or Berkshire Hathaway. Anyway, they saw the value of the plans. And also, something happened after they owned the plan. They got older. And what happens when they got older? People around them started needing care or having health issues. So they said, well, I'm not so sure I want to cancel the plan. I'll keep it. And the third reason that premiums have gone up is because the expectation of rates that insurance companies are regulated in all the states. And a certain proportion of it has to be in fixed assets. They can also put it, you know, insurance companies also own a lot of real estate or stocks, but a lot of their capital has to be kept in fixed investments. And the rates have been very low, so they haven't been able to make the rates that they had expected. So for all those three reasons, premiums have gone up in all these plans, regular plans.
What percentage have they gone up? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, well, it depends on the company, and also what you read. Some of it is true, some of it is exaggerated, but it's gone up anywhere from 25% to 100%, depending on the plan, the company, and the group of people in that particular year or plan design plan that people purchase. And
so,
you know, you'll read.
If your rate goes up to 170, are you okay with that?
No.
You should, because that's still a bargain.
Would I pay it? That's still a bargain.
You got to ask the right question, though, Dave. Would I still pay it? Yes. Am I okay with it? No.
Yeah, at the average cost of nursing home or assisted living is, you know, somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 a month for good ones.
Right.
You know, you can get cheaper places later, but believe me, you don't want to go there.
In New York, it's a lot more than that.
Oh, is it? How much?
Like $8,000 a month.
Really?
Really?
Just because you live in New York?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, Donald Trump will fix all that, right?
Yeah. Well, New York it costs a lot for caregiving. Florida, but you know the state that has that's the highest in healthcare costs.
What?
And I'll give you a hint. It's not California.
Thank
it's
God.
Not New York. And it's not Florida, although California has pretty high rate. If you're in, you know, an urban area, but the state that has that's the highest in healthcare or caregiving costs.
Texas.
Nope.
Oregon.
Alaska.
Wants to move there.
They just can't get the caregivers flown in there.
Yeah, and the moose refuse to be caregivers.
Well, you know, in Alaska, there's two seasons only, not four. It's winter and August.
Yes, I've heard that. I thought you were going to say cold and colder, but that I like that one better.
Wow. Okay. What were you going to say before our break? I interrupted you, Raymond. I do that a lot. Sorry.
I transition.
Unless you
want to
finish this idea first, you know.
Well, I transition off into other things, so that's why I have people that help me to stay on message. Is that we were talking about you know, why men are resistant to owning care benefits, and I was saying that you know, you do it not because you want to do it for yourself; you do it for your family. If you love your family, and I love my family, is my life. It's what I live for, and they live for me, but. What I say to people is, when we're having this conversation, you know, you need to have a plan. You need to, you know, to know in advance, just like you own health insurance, just like you own car insurance, just like you own homeowners insurance, is that or life insurance. You own long-term care benefits, not because you want it to happen, but if it happens, you have the benefits to help you and your family, that they can remain your family. Maybe you want, you know, that doesn't relieve your family from caring for you or being responsible. It does not take away the responsibility. But what it allows the families to do is to make decisions and do things a lot of us don't want to do or can't do. I can't lift my wife. My wife can't lift me. Sometimes I can't even lift myself. But that's a different story.
I used to be able to lift her, but not anymore.
Yeah. And also it's redundant or. There are things that, you know, you just get tired. You just need a break. And I've had that personally. I mean, my father had a fatal heart disease, but several times in his life, my mother, who is an attorney, had to suspend her career to take care of my father. So it was, you know, it's for most of us that are in the business, we've also had, you know, personal experience. That's why it isn't just, you know, hi, we're the pushy salespeople. We also we're believers. We understand, you know, what this is about. We're not being, you know, missionaries. We're not being people that are saying what you need to do, but we can give our personal experiences about this. But the thing that I also wanted to say is, don't be afraid about caregiving, whether you're the caregiver or giving, don't be afraid about it if you have a plan, because it's going to disrupt your life. Absolutely. But the thing is, you can still live, you know, as a satisfying life. And I'll give you an example. Have you ever heard of a person named President Franklin Roosevelt? Does that name sound familiar?
Or
Stephen Hawking. These are people that you know, have had infirmities, but one was
Stephen Hawking, I just heard, has been given $5 billion with a B dollars to continue his quest for knowledge. So, I mean, I don't think he's hurting for money, but
you know, they both needed full time care, but one was able to run a country when we were in the depths of the Depression, and won a world war, which is, you know, which is not an easy thing to do, even if you're healthy, you know, you're physically healthy. And the same with Stephen Hawking. And there are other people. Oh, I'll give you an example. In the 60s, there was a television series called Ironside, you know, this police chief in a wheelchair. He was able to do all these things. Why? He had help. He was able to have a life. And I tell people, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, or but I'll say to people, you can still have a life. You can be intimate. You can take vacation. You mean to tell me when you get on a plane? I mean, I've seen people being carried on planes. I've seen people being carried off planes. I see the conga line of wheelchairs. If you've ever taken a cruise, I mean, I see people, wheelchairs, walkers, canes, all kinds of things, apparatus, and they're able to go out and do as many things as they can. Yep. And you're able to do this if you have, as this Beatles song would say, we all need a little help, assistance from our friends. I try to stay away from the word help, because that is a term that it's like, you know, I'm incapable, or I'm helpless. But we all need assistance. So I like that word. You know, we all need assistance with our lives. God knows I need as much assistance as I can get.
Yeah. But I don't remember if I asked you, you have long-term care, right? Or no?
Yes, I do. Yes.
So you were smart enough. How long have you been selling insurance?
Well, let me just ask you, is it this was 10 years ago before I was in the business, and I didn't want to get long-term care insurance. The reason I got it is because my wife said, find out about the long-term care insurance and get it. And if anybody knows my wife, I follow my wife's wisdom, because my wife is wise and better looking and smarter than I am. Yeah. And it's not that she's around. Right. She's just that kind of. I have
parents have it also. Parents.
My mother did. My mother bought it in her 70s, and she was able to.
In her 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. In her early 70s.
How much was
it? It was not in the. That's an interesting story too. It was not inexpensive, but my father, with a third time that he needed full time care for an extended period of time, she finally decided to get it. They weren't insurance buyers. I mean, they owned insurance, but she got it because she finally said, "Look, what happens if I need it?" And this is the other side. This is somebody that isn't just affluent. This is, my mother is really affluent, but she owns it because she wants to make sure that she has additional cash flow. But anyway, she was healthy enough.
She's healthy. Healthy at 70?
Well, she was then, but she's been on, and she resented every premium that she ever paid, but she kept it. But she also had her friends that also had long-term care benefits. And all of them needed it. And my mother has lifetime benefits. And my mother is 96, and she's in her 11th year of using her long-term care benefits. Her 11th year.
So how much was the premium?
I don't know. She didn't buy it from me, and she didn't tell me. But it was in her 70s. And I think she bought it in the early
90s. Like $1,000 a month, or not that much?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't. I would say it maybe had been maybe $400 or $500 a month.
Okay. Well, if you need it, that's the bargain.
And does the premium stop once she starts needing the care?
Yes. Yes. In a regular long-term care plan, yes, you have it's a built-in waiver of premium. That's changing too. But anyway, the answer is yes. She no longer pays. So she got all the premiums that she paid into her plan has been more than paid back. In benefits.
Oh yeah.
And how is that changing? You said it's changing.
Well, with there's plans that are coming out now where you have to, the Mutual of Omaha's or the Transamerica, the waiver premium is built in. But there's a new plan called the National Guardian Life, where you can't. It's not a built-in waiver premium. You have to buy it. The long-term care business is in transition. Maybe you can call it severe transition, but it's in transition.
Are they in trouble?
They're not in trouble. They are in transition. The companies or the plans were in trouble because they're trying to figure out, you know, how to have enough assets in place for the plans that are, you know, for the plans that people own. They want to make sure that there's enough reserves. I mean, you know, we that would be several other segments. I mean, underwriting, the process is expensive.
So this would be a good time to get your policy before they figure it all out, you think?
Go ahead, Doug.
I know that I got the last policy written of the kind of policy that I got because everything was being changed. I have the waiver built in.
I thought you didn't have a plan.
Yes, I do. Of course. As soon as Steve died, I made sure I had a plan. Now, it was far more expensive.
What are you paying?
It was when I was in my 50s. I won't tell you how much I'm paying. Because I'm paying it off in 10 years. And so the premium is far higher. But if I needed it tomorrow, I'd never have to pay the premium. Unless, of course, it was for a period of time that I needed it.
Well, that sounds smart.
And then I didn't need it again.
How many years do you have to go before it's paid off?
How many years?
Are you halfway there or what?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. 5 more years.
And Adrian is fortunate. Used to be that a lot of plans had, it was called, shorter term pay, 5 years, 10 years, age 65. Fewer companies have regular, have that kind of benefit. But the long-term care plans have changed. The platform has changed, which I think is going to make it interesting. It's interesting where rather than just the regular plans that we all think about of the pool of money and how much in benefits and the cost of living, the platform has changed where it's on a life insurance that has a long-term care rider, and it's useful in it. It doesn't pay for. I don't know what the benefit to people is that they can transfer money into the plan. In other words, it's repositioning your assets. And rather than when you own a regular long-term care plan, it's an expense like life insurance. Well, actually, life insurance is an asset. But if you have car insurance or homeowners or umbrella policy, it's a fixed expense. If you own what they call hybrid linked asset, but I prefer the word hybrid, but whichever word you use or term you use, it's all the same thing. You're buying an asset, and with that asset, if you use it, you're using the cash values of the plan to pay for your care. But if you die, whether you use it, some of it, or even most of it, when you die, the remaining face amount goes to your beneficiary. So it's not, it answers the question of, as they say, of use it or lose it. Go ahead, Adrian. I can tell
term life, though, doesn't work that way.
What?
Term life insurance does not work that way.
Term life insurance.
It's not an asset.
It doesn't. It's more of an expense, right? Because it has a term of life, unless it has a benefit where you can transfer it to a whole life. In other words, it'll give you a moment where you can, without underwriting, you can exchange it for a whole life plan. But the difference is that you can transfer money around. You may not need for your retirement or other expenses, and you transfer it over so that you now have a either life insurance or long-term care benefits. And the men who think that, always think that they're the great investors, sometimes they like that idea. Say, you mean I'm not going to if I die, it'll go to somebody? Yes. You mean the premiums will never go up? Yes. You mean that? So sometimes they'll be more interested in that because they like that kind of benefit. So they'll be more agreeable to say, yeah, I'll do that, rather than just owning regular long-term care benefits. Mm-hmm. Make sense, or am I senseless?
Yeah. Are caregivers, or should caregivers be sharing the responsibility with other family members, since really it's like being a beneficiary of a life insurance plan? Maybe, the kids should chip in and help pay for it. I know I certainly would have, now that I know what's involved in that. Is that a viable option, or are a lot of kids opposed to that idea, which I can't even believe that they would be, but you never know.
It's the conversation. And some people, it's hard for, I think, parents to say to their kids, look, I have made, I think it's an emotional thing of, you don't want to tell your kids, gee, maybe I didn't do as well in my life as you think. And now I'm asking you to help me. But, you know, I encourage people, if they can, to have a conversation about it if they're unable to. Now, I have children that will call me and say, you know, my parents need long-term care benefits. And I'll ask them, I'll say, you know, what's the, you know, first thing I ask them is about their health. Because if they're calling me, usually they have some, you know, some health issue or something is near. But if they're reasonably okay, I'll say, how do they feel about it? Is it something they would do? Oh, yeah. I said, well, if they needed help in paying the premiums, would you or the family consider contributing? You wait for the answer, you know, what they will do. You just, you know.
Is there usually silence on the other end?
some are silent. Some are thoughtful. Some will just, no, I don't want to do it. I mean, you know, sometimes – people are, you know,
you have a lot of siblings. I mean, it can really bring the price down. Everybody chips in, you know, $30 or something. I don't know.
But you also have, if you have other siblings, they're going to need care for them for themselves as well, even if they're not the ones chipping in to help take care of mom or dad. I mean,
listen,
I'm
sorry to interrupt. Something just came up and I need to take care of it. So it's a perfect time for a break. So, Ed, we will be taking a break. So we'll be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmonelegonehundredwords.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Ray Levine and Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave Nassani. And yes, I had a caregiving moment there. I had to take care of my wife. We're going somewhere, and she thought it was time to go, but we actually have 10 more minutes. So all our clocks are 15 minutes fast in the house, because that's how long it takes me to get her out of the house and into the car. Okay, what were we saying before you were so rudely interrupted? Anybody.
I
okay,
I don't
we're all having senior moments.
About,
okay.
I was talking about the fact that the siblings would also need to buy their own long-term care insurance.
Well, that's true. You know, my mother had dementia, and I don't have the greatest memory, and it seems like it's getting worse. My wife keeps telling me, go to the doctor. So I found this free study they're doing, you know, for dementia, early detection. So every 6 months they see me and they give me this test. And they ask me a million questions. Some of them are kind of ridiculous questions that anybody would know the answer to, except my mother. And the good news is that I'm like right below the borderline that they would consider, you know, a problem, thank God. And I'm not getting any higher. In fact, my score actually improved because I'm doing things like this radio show. I'm learning new songs on the piano. You know, I'm just trying to keep active. I don't do crossword puzzles. I probably should because they say that's a really, really good thing. But that's one reason my kids certainly, I hope you have a long-term care policy and, you know,
yeah,
put me on there in case you miss the premium. They can contact me because they're concerned. You know, they see what's going on with my wife, their mother, and with my mother and so on. So, you know, kids should be very, very concerned. They should be the motivating factor as opposed to the caregiver. They should be forcing the caregiver to do it. And if they don't do it, I mean, if my parent was in that situation, I would be talking to my brother and my sister and say, you owe me $100, you owe me $100, you owe me $100. We're getting them care because, you know, unless you want to be the sole caregiver, this has to be taken care of. I mean, that's just my logical solution to the problem. What do you think of that, guys?
What? Go ahead, Adrian.
I think that's a very realistic way of putting it.
We have the most to lose.
Just a cooperative arrangement.
Yeah.
Well, it would make it easier on me. But as I said, you just have people.
Say
again.
Yeah. Well, a ton of business.
Well, it would be easier because what I do is, you know, it's as I said, the conversation. We're telling stories, and it's getting people to come to terms with something they don't really want to talk about. People don't want to talk about dying. I mean, we use euphemisms. We never, you know, we don't say you died. We say you passed away. They're no longer with.
You know, there are things worse than death. You know, disability is worse. Mm-hmm. Losing your speech is worse. Being paralyzed from the neck down is worse. And I could think of a million other things that is worse than that. Death would be like good news.
Well, it's what people's experiences relatively are. And I think more and more people are seeing it. And I think, you know, people have to see it. They have to visualize it, or they have to experience it in order to say, this is what I need to do. I mean, we all know we need to save for retirement, but there's, 70% of the population does not have a sufficient retirement. So we all know what we need to do, but why? Well, it's the economy, it's jobs, it's the ability to make enough money in order to put money away. So we all know things that we need to do. It's when are we in the time frame of money and health and interest to say this is what we need to do, and it's not easy.
Prioritize, and I mean, in my opinion, if I had to choose, and I can only have one between life insurance, long-term care insurance, and I forgot what the other one was in my mind, but life
disability.
No, it was something else. Anyway, long-term care would be at the top of the list because, you know, like I said, there are things worse than death.
Yeah, I think people know that, you know, death and taxes. Everybody's going to die, but people are in denial that they might be the ones to get sick, and they.
Yeah, retirement was the third thing that I forgot. Retirement.
Well, you can't buy a policy for retirement, as far as I know. But that would be nice.
You know, in an age of 1% interest rates, I don't know how anybody is planning for retirement because it's just impossible. They're keeping interest rates artificially low to keep this fake economy that's living on credit, you know, which don't get me started on that. But it's like, okay, yeah, I need retirement. Yeah, I probably need retirement more than anything else. But the odds are that that's the most unreachable goal. But long-term care, I think, is a very important goal, and it's reachable more than retirement. So that's why I give it more importance than that. You know. In agreement, Raymond?
I'm in agreement, and we all want the impossible dream. But yeah, it's priorities and what is important in your life. It's, you know, some moment in time. And it's having the conversation, you know, listening to your program and, you know, and understanding that it is an issue and that we need to do something about it. And hopefully that, you know, they have the conversation with agents in New York, agents in California, or talk to your financial planner or attorneys. They need to also explain to their clients if they know about their plans and they're doing estate planning is to ask that question. What have you done, or what are your thoughts about long-term care benefits? And if they, whether they do it or to refer to colleagues like me, you know, it's financial people or accountants or attorneys also need to have that conversation with their clients.
Yeah, and we have 4 minutes to go. Is there anything that we haven't spoken about yet that we need to discuss, Adrian or Raymond?
What are the I think of that. What are the breeds of your dog? I saw your dogs during the, you know what?
Yes, that's important.
She's my she's a wire hair dachshund.
And mine is part terrier, part cockapoo, and you know mixed mutt. Don't you have one, Raymond?
We've had dogs all our through our marriage, but the last 8 years we've had a cat, Mojo the cat, and he's an all white cat and a wonderful pet that you know they have the expression dogs have owners, cats have helpers.
Yeah. Well, Adrian and I both our dogs are service animals, mine to my wife and you know emotional support and. They're part of the family, and I can't even imagine what would happen if this dog died. It would be like grief for the next 10 years, you know? So I did a whole show on care animals. I should probably do another one. It's a great show. And you missed that one, Adrian. Darn it.
I know I missed that one.
We'll do another one.
Well, you can listen to the recording or be part of it. But anyway, I was just some thoughts is that whether you own long-term care or you don't, have the conversation, whether with me or your financial planner or your accountant, insurance broker. Have the conversation.
How do we learn do it? How do we start?
Well, how do you start? If, as I said, if you have a financial plan, I mean, you know, to listen to them, you can go to my website, www.levineltcins.com. There are a gazillion sites about caregiving. There are lots of sites about long-term care plans. You know, there are commercial. I mean, there are a lot of ways that people can learn about long-term care benefits.
Spell out your site also again. Spell it out.
Oh, www.levineltcins.com. LevineLTCINS.com.
LTC, long term care. INS, what does that stand for? Insurance. Okay.
Insurance, yeah. .com. And the insurance carriers there's information everywhere. But then it's talking to somebody in order to sort out what you might need, what plans are available, but also it's also about your health because that's one of the first questions I ask after why are you looking into this.
But that doesn't
this care.
Disqualify you, does it? If you have health issues,
it may be, but it's knowing. See, this is also it's knowing about your health in order to know how to direct the conversation of. Do you would regular long-term care benefits be of value to you? Would a hybrid plan be of value to you based on, your what your health issues are? Would a short-term care plan? I mean, there are a number of ways that you can approach it.
What is your phone number? Do you mind people calling you?
Area code 253. This is Washington State, although I am licensed in most Western states, so you can still call me. Or if not, I mean, I'll refer you to people in your state if you want to see them in person. Area code 253.
Just want to ask you some questions.
Absolutely. Area code 253-275-6091.
Okay. Adrian, how can someone get a hold of you? Because you are the amazing Adrian Gruberg of the caregiver space. How many people are following you now on Facebook?
15,500 about.
No, you mean 155,000.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you for adding a digit. That's important.
When we get old, we please, forget those decimal time. Points, you know, and
it's Adrienne, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org. And I just wanted to quickly say that the first National Caregivers Conference is going to be held in Chicago on December the 3rd for both professional caregivers, social workers, and the like, and for caregivers.
Okay. I can't believe how fast the time has gone. Adrienne, you should probably ask Raymond to volunteer to do a forum on your thing about the long-term care. I bet it'd be very popular.
I think you're right.
Okay. You two contact each other, okay?
I will.
Thank you again. We're here every Tuesday at noon Pacific time. So see you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific. Or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on Radio Star Worldwide.